Have you ever asked yourself, how different would Apple be today if Steve Jobs were still around? Or what would Tesla be without Musk? Would you have known Starbucks without Howard Schultz? This is Soji, and this is the Brandfather Experience. One of the observations I've actually made from interacting with many CEOs, entrepreneurs, visionaries, is that as soon as they start to reach a level of success, they start to pay attention to what their legacy would be or what their legacy should be. And I think that is motivated by the desire to, you know, sustain and even elevate the level of success that they've achieved. This matters because if you think about it, most companies are an extension of their founders. Every company has a DNA, and the DNA is mostly of the founder. And it only makes sense that something you've put in so much effort and energy to build, to see come alive, like, you would care about it. It's just like raising a child as well. You want the best for the child. You want to make sure that in every way possible, the child is set up to have a great life, at least to your own standard of what you think a great life is. So it's a natural instinct, and it's easy to see how, you know, sometimes there are business owners who want their children to take their place, maybe when they die or even before they die. It's because they feel like their legacy is trusted, is in a trusted hand. So that's why I think it's very important. I think it's just a very natural desire that, you know, something you have labored so hard for. You have a very possessive and very personal sentiment towards seeing that thing turn out a certain way. When it comes to legacy in that sense, the return and the compensation for doing such hard work, in many cases, the return is coming to your family. Those are the people you care the most about. Those are the people you feel indebted to, you know, for all the efforts you've made. So even if it's not exactly the best strategy to replace your children just for the sake of them being your children, it's justifiable to many, you know, business owners, because they feel like, okay, whatever happens after I'm gone, it's not going to be someone from somewhere who I don't know that is reaping the benefit of all the things I've worked out for. So today, not everybody thinks about legacy the same way, or I would say not everybody cares about legacy. And part of the reason for that is when you think about many entrepreneurs today, especially startup founders, many of them don't exactly start their business thinking of, oh, this is something I want to do. I have this vision. I'm trying to create this particular legacy. You know, I'm trying to build a business that will last 50 years, 100 years. And that's not how most entrepreneurs think, because nowadays, there is a lot of avenue to like easily start a business if you have an idea. So that idea might not even be viable, but there's the opportunity to actually engage, you know, and it's an easy way to actually get into the business world as well. Once you can have an idea, you can put a team together, you have the opportunity to raise money and give it a go without having to bear the risk of capital, getting stuck in your efforts to actually bring something to life. And that happens in a way that sometimes these entrepreneurs would even have more than one idea or business that they are trying to work on simultaneously until one of those business works out. So to such entrepreneurs, legacy might not even be an important thing, or it will be a completely different metric they are looking out for. But for some entrepreneurs, maybe they've gone through that phase of, you know, trying to find a path for themselves, and they've gotten to a point where they have decided that, okay, this is my life's work. You know, I'm going to put everything I have to making this work out and to making this entity become the most it can be. Those sort of people definitely care about legacy. And the moment you reached that level where you've gotten a little bit of grounding, the next thing is to actually start setting up your legacy in that business. So in the case where there is more than one founder, which is very common nowadays, there is usually that one person that has the most influence in the group and has the biggest imprint on the business and the brand. And that is usually the CEO. The CEO is also seen as the face of the brand. So in the case where there are more than one founder, the business is most likely to fashion after the likeness of the CEO himself, who in many cases is the visionary, is probably the one who put the team together as well. And people care about legacy. And one way to prove that is from time to time, people would often question new leadership of maybe a successful company whose founder is no longer around. So you hear questions like, oh, what would Apple have become if Steve Jobs were still around? And that's a very good example to show you that people believe in the values and the personality and principles of a leader. And sometimes they even get attached. It can even get to a very toxic point where new leadership has so much work to do to enjoy the same level of trust and confidence that people have in the, you know, original leadership. Yeah, but it does matter, definitely. Like sometimes it can be so bad that if the original leadership leaves, you know, some people consider it as some form of failure. And it can be a lot of pressure on like new leadership, but there are ways to go about it. In reality, you don't control that. You may not be able to control, even as a founder, how long you will be in your business, how long your business will last, what would happen when you die or when you leave your business. But the most practical way to go about it is to focus on the parts where you control, right? And the parts where you control, for the most part, there are three areas you can focus on and by intention build a legacy for your business. The first thing is you need to articulate your vision. Articulating your vision is to also say that whatever it is you have in mind for your business is not just in your head, right? Because as a leader, if everything you are trying to do is in your head, the moment you are not around or the moment you are not in the room, everything becomes fuzzy. But beyond having a clear idea of what you are trying to do, you also need to articulate it. That's make it very plain for other people to be able to see. When I work with founders to help define their brand, there's this exercise I always do. I call the future obituary. And what that is, I basically ask, if your business is no longer here today, for whatever reason, has to fold up, what would be on the tombstone of your business? It's like giving you the opportunity to visualize the type of impact, type of future that you want to make happen through that business. So that exercise in many ways, you know, brings up a lot of interesting point of view from the founder and the leadership team, and it helps to create an alignment in a very, very powerful way. So that intentional approach of like making sure that, you know, the vision is clear, your point of view, the philosophy as to what business should be, how it should function in the world, and the positions that you take and you don't take, you know, all of these things are important. Another very important thing in helping to define your vision is the counter vision. The counter vision is like recognizing what you don't want your business to become and being clear about it. So that's a balance of motivation. You are running towards something and you're also running from something. You have a very solid framework for how to make decisions, how to move forward, what to say no to, what to say yes to. And that's something that everybody like aligns on. It's not something that is just personal to you. People can buy into it and like roll with it. The second thing is to align your leadership team. So as a founder, it's your job to extend yourself first of all through your leadership team. Like we established earlier that, you know, most businesses are an extension of the founders. And the most effective way to do that is to extend yourself through your leadership team. So you don't just want to railroad your vision through your leaders. You want to get their buy-in and you want to get their feedback and you want to share your vision to them in a way that they can now start to see how they can contribute to make it a reality. Yes, you can bring the form. You can design the form of what you want to create, but ultimately they are the ones that come to design the, you know, individual component that fits the form that you have created. So you have to be willing to like establish what are the boundaries for the business, how those boundaries influence the policies of the business. You know, how would you treat employees? How do you treat customers? What are the borderlines for you? So without you as the leader being in the room, your leadership team should still be able to function based on the principles that you have outlined for the business in collaboration with them. And if you think about it, leadership is personal, because as a leader, every leader has different styles. They have their personality, they have their sensibilities, they have their different approach to doing things. So when you bring in different leaders and put them together, how do you make sure that they are all able to still work towards the same goal, even if their approaches are slightly unique to them, right? So it means that there has to be some fundamental truth everybody can rally around and work very hard for. And I think that is a very valid way to like examine the success of a brand or the legacy of the brand, is to think, how much alignment have you been able to create as a founder? How much buy-in do you have? How seriously do they hold the vision, and how proactive do they pursue to like execute on it? So that would be the second thing, to align your leadership team after defining or articulating what the vision is. Third thing would be to build a culture around it. When it comes to building a culture, it's very important to know exactly what are the behaviors that are in line and out of line. How would the business respond? Now, if you think about everything I've been sharing, you can see that everything kind of locks into each other, from creating or articulating your vision to aligning the leadership on that vision and then extending that into a culture. A culture that permeates every corner of the business, that from the cleaner to the CEO, there's some level of congruence as to how things are viewed, how things are approached, how decisions are made, how issues are dealt with, how problems are solved, and what are the mindsets that all those things are approached with. So the culture is the lifeblood of the brand. When you think about it, what the customer experiences is also an extension of the culture, the internal culture you have been able to cultivate. If I come in contact with you as a representative of a company, whatever culture you are actively participating in as a representative of the company is going to filter through my experience with you as a customer. So culture also now plays a very, very significant role in how a company's legacy can be maintained. So a very good example is, in an interview recently on GQ magazine, Tim Cook was asked about, you know, his relationship with Steve Jobs, and especially regarding culture. And he talked about how Steve Jobs expected creativity and innovation in every corner of the business, not just in one department. So even though he was in operations, for instance, there was still the need for them to be creative, to be innovative, because the product they are trying to sell is a creative and innovative one. So you cannot use old thinking and ways to approach every corner of the business. Everybody in the business needed to be in that way. So you're not exactly separating the business based on what different departments should be doing, you know, in isolation. In this case, you're actually making sure that everybody buys into the same collective ideas on how to push the company forward. Another very good example, by the way, is Howard Schultz of Starbucks. He has returned to the company like 2 or 3 times. I think he's even the current interim CEO again, you know, for maybe the 3rd or 4th time. And one reason is because, as a founder, of course, he has a stronger vision of what the culture should be. And he knows how to come in and rekindle the fire of what the brand should be, and to impact the culture in a way that delivers even a more superior experience to the customers. And that has been doing so great for Starbucks. I talk about this extensively in my first episode, The Returning Generals. So you should take time and go listen to that. A perfect analogy for everything is the idea of a constitution. A constitution lays the groundwork for a country's governance. Your philosophy, values, you know, all these things also lay the groundwork. It's like planting a seed and watering it and seeing how all of that comes together. In conclusion, an interesting thing is Twitter, for instance, now has a new owner. And the philosophy, legacy, culture, whatnot of the original founder may be completely irrelevant to the new owner, which I think is the case. And when you think about that, right, like what I said earlier, that sometimes you don't control this future of like how long you're going to be, you know, holding the hands of this little child of yours. So if you really don't control it, should you really care about, you know, paying attention to culture and all of these things? Well, yes, it's important. The fact that you don't control it is very, very similar to raising a child, like we talked about earlier. When you're raising a child, you get to a point as a parent where you realize that this child is an entity on its own, and you only have so much an opportunity to influence that child, because eventually they have to become a person of their own. They have to make their own decision. They might even choose paths or make decisions that you don't completely agree or align with, and that should be okay. But as a parent, what you then control is that while you can, you want to make the best of the opportunity to influence that child or the children by setting them up for greatness in every way you understand you can. So if you set your children up for greatness in every way you can trust to a great extent that their future will turn out as you desire or even better. So the focus for every founder should be, you know, how can I make this company a truly great company? You know, that's how to think about legacy. Is how can I make this company a truly great company? Not how can I make sure that everybody continues to follow and think just like me? You know, how can my opinion and point of view or worldview continue to be maintained as the standard of what happens in this company? I don't think focusing too much on that would free you and allow other people to even make contributions as they could have. So the focus should just be, I need to make this company great. And you know, what is greatness in every way it possibly can, from the product to the people to the culture to the delivery of those product or service. You know, you want to make sure that you're putting the business in the best condition possible. And that is, I think, is the ultimate legacy. And that's what you really control. In all of this, you know, that would be my conclusion. This episode, I'm dedicating to Arthur Gensler. That's the founder of Gensler, a global design and architectural firm. And one thing that was very inspiring about Gensler is that in his lifetime, he built one of the most important design and architectural firm in his lifetime, and he handed over to two different generations of leaders. He handed over to his children initially, and his children handed over to another level of leadership, and in his lifetime. So I think that is such a prime example of what a founder's legacy is like. He's not in the business thinking and making all the decisions. And I mean, it's such a big company now that it's hard for one person to have their hands on every buttons. But he has led such an excellent business that he could hand it over to a new generation. And he did such a great work in maintaining that legacy and building up that legacy. And they have also been able to hand it over to like another new generation. And business has been running for like about 65 years now. And he did all of this in his lifetime. It's a very excellent example that inspires me a lot. So if you have the time, you should take out time to read more about Gensler. I think he died about 2 years ago now. May his soul rest in peace. So thank you very much for listening to this episode. And if you'd like to follow up on this conversation, I've written a blog post on the title Founder's Legacy. And if you also like to talk about your own brand, you could reach out through my email at soji sojii@gmail.com. That is sojii@gmail.com. Talk to you soon.